Please be seated, friends. Well, a way for us to be able to express in human thoughts and terms and words the mystery of the triune God, this Trinity that has revealed himself to us in these three persons as one Godhead, and upon which our Christian faith stands, that both which we believe and that which we do not believe. And it's a mystery to us. It's like a divine puzzle. And we're given certain pieces of this mystery to put into place by faith and to acknowledge by that faith. But it's a puzzle that the good Lord Almighty, our saving God, wants us to know about and to embrace and to live by in these truths. As I mentioned earlier, we like puzzles, and so we've usually got a puzzle sitting somewhere around our house putting this puzzle together. And there's always that one kind of elusive piece, right, that you know it fits somewhere, and it sure looks like it should fit here, but it never does. And so it's that one piece that you're kind of always gravitating back to, trying to see where it fits while the bigger picture is put out together in that puzzle. Oftentimes, I like to have the cover, the lid of the puzzle box sitting there by me so I can see the bigger picture, right? And I can determine where the colors go and maybe sort them out in that kind of way. As we come together as God's people today, we come together in the gospel reading. I'm going to share with you some thoughts from Matthew chapter 28. We know this to be the Great Commission, the great mission sending of our Lord. It's the only place that we have in Matthew's gospel where Jesus uses that Trinitarian name, that phrase, and he says to us to go and baptize in that name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is where the puzzle pieces begin to fit together for us as Jesus shares these truths with his disciples as he's ascending back to his rightful place. And you and I, in many ways, we are like puzzle pieces in the bigger picture of the kingdom of God. We've got a place. We've got a purpose. And we can't always see that or understand maybe in a particular situation where we fit. But the good Lord does. He knows all about you and me and us. He knows all about our situation and just how the big picture is going to be put together as he works on our behalf. As he worked through those early disciples on our behalf. In verse 16, we pick it up and we hear. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's appeared to his disciples at various times and places over those 40 days before he has ascended. And now he's told them, this is where I want you to go. He's designated a spot. It's not confusing to them. For them, they know exactly where they should go. The puzzle piece is in their hand, and they know the place for it because Jesus has designated for them ahead of time this spot. Now, they knew it. We don't, because Matthew wasn't concerned about us knowing that particular spot where they were to go, but the disciples did. There was no confusion about this. No confusion about going ahead to Galilee, and there Jesus would meet them. Now, they had no idea what was going to happen there in Galilee when Jesus would meet them, but they knew the spot where they were going. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. So apparently, the designated spot was no confusion to them, was known to them. The puzzle piece fit together well there. But when they got there, now there's some confusion. The pieces don't quite fit together. Maybe one of the supposed cats of doubt, like we have four cats, gets on that table and in the middle of the night uses their paw and pushes a couple of pieces off the table. And you go back in the morning to try to put that puzzle together and you're missing some pieces. There's confusion. That confusion of edistason, that is, the word doubt is used for us in the English, the deeper meaning behind there that speaks to us in our spirit, in the divine truth of meeting Jesus on this mountain, is that these disciples halted in their track and they find themselves at a fork in the road. Worship or be confused. Worshiping the Lord is an act of faith and an exaltation of the rightful place to which Jesus Christ is going. But I'm also human, Lord, and my faith wavers at times, and I get confused. There's two great perspectives that are being laid out here that Matthew is relating to us in our both faith as disciples and our humanity as human beings. Maybe we can make sense of this as we back up a little bit, and let's go to that first reading that Barbara read for us. In Genesis. Maybe this is where the confusion of our humanity enters in for us. Not just us here today, but people, human beings living in a fallen world. Now, when the Lord God relates to us his creative account, sin hasn't entered into the world yet. So when we pick it up in Genesis, the puzzle is all together. Where we enter into it is that the puzzle pieces are all scattered. And it's tough to make sense of these divine truths. That Genesis, the account of the Lord and his creation, to allow confusion as we do in our sinful humanity to define his creation is to reject then the Creator. And this just isn't an out there in the world problem. This is a struggle that even we wrestle with as Christ followers. Is that when we allow confusion to define his creation is then really to reject him as creator. That whole concept of being green is a stewardship concept that God has placed into hands of his people, and particularly we who are his followers, since the creation of the world. Here, take care of my creation. Right? Take care of each other. Rule over this thing I've made. And find joy and delight as you interact with it and with one another. We're stewards of God's creation. Stewardship of life and all of its resources really is nothing new. It's been laid out since the foundation of the world. But to add our perspectives, our thinking, our perceived truths is to make the situation confused and then to reject him as our creator. To reject our creator is to really deny his authority over creation. That he is the one in charge, I am not. And he is the one who has determined us as God's people, made in his image and his likeness, all human beings, whether they want to accept that or not, is the truth. And to deny this is to deny his authority over his creation, and to deny his authority over his creation is to reject him then as our object of worship. This is where the disciples were. Some worshiped, but some doubted. What do we do with this? And as we see this as God's people, the puzzle is in a million pieces. How are we going to put this truth together? How will we make sense of this? When my sinful nature, when my own humanity wants me to try to make sense of all of this, the puzzle stays like this. When faith yields to these divine mysteries, as the Holy Spirit reveals these truths to us, as Jesus, our Lord and Savior, leads us into these truths and into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Oh, now the picture becomes a bit more clear. Maybe still a few missing pieces for us. But now the truth is being put together. Jesus came to them in the midst of their confusion, this fork in the road, and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I'm the authority. And when Jesus says all authority, that's an emphatic point he's saying. All, that is everything, every single piece that which makes up the whole belongs to me. You don't have to worry about putting the puzzle together. I'm going to do it because it all belongs to me. What I ask of you is to trust, to exercise faith, to live in me and not go your own way, allowing me and by faith to be that object of worship in your heart and life, and staying there as my people, as that faith by my grace is exercised in you each day. All, everything belongs to me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me because I am the conferred, I am the delegated empowerment in all of creation within this puzzle that you're trying to make sense of. That's me, Jesus says, for you. Don't worry about the puzzle. I've got the box cover sitting right in front of me. I know what it looks like in the end. What I'm calling you to do is walk with me and follow in my footsteps, to live in relationship with me. As this delegated, conferred authority is mine, to claim you as my own. Why? And how is this done? Well, the Lord God has raised me. He's raised Jesus to life. And the Lord God has exalted him to the right hand, that rightful place of supreme authority at the Father's right hand. And Jesus has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear, what you know, what you live by, what calls you out of the world and the confusion that sin and our sinful nature would have us try to define and live by, has called you into that complete grace of the kingdom of God who's got a place for you, your place and mine, by his call and design. Now this is the authority that Jesus speaks by and to which he's putting this puzzle together, because he's got that conferred, that delegated authority to do so. But there's something else that Jesus is relating to us as he's given to his disciples this message. Because there's not only his authority that he owns, but he delegates his power to us to move forward. He tells us that, doesn't he? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. But then he confers that authority to us to move forward in two great truths. And we see those truths given to us. One is in that authority of Jesus. We call that the office of the keys, don't we? That the Lord God has given to his body, the church, the authority to forgive sins or to withhold that forgiveness if someone is unrepentant. That, my friend, talk about authority and power. That's eternal divine stuff that Jesus has delegated to us, the authority to forgive sins. As we have been forgiven, so we forgive one another. If someone refuses to repent and seek forgiveness, then we have that same authority to lock the kingdom to them until repentance would be known. He delegates us, the church, that authority. And the church has said into the office of the pastor, we want that to be exercised in decency and good order. But each one of us has the opportunity to forgive sins, to live in that saving relationship with Jesus, which is made known through his means of grace, right? His word, the blessing of baptism, and the supper of our Lord in communion. Those means of grace by his authority then is what Jesus speaks to us as another piece of the puzzle is put in place for us. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, as I delegate you as my people, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And with those words, Matthew records for us that Jesus ascended then to his rightful place at the Father's right hand. As he delegates to us a piece of the puzzle, go and make disciples of all nations. Ta ethne. If you've been in basics and beginnings class with me, you know how important that phrase, ta ethne, is, because it defines for us people, regardless of nationality, regardless of age, regardless of ability or disability, regardless of gender. We go to all nations with that saving message of Jesus Christ, the truth, that all people might be saved. Ta ethne, the nations would be saved. And we do so baptizing them in this saving name that we're celebrating and recognizing today. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That name in which we were baptized, to which now the nations are brought into a saving relationship. In those mysterious saving moments of baptism where word and water are brought together and a renewal is brought forth in a person's life. This is what we're called now to do. And in that, teaching them to obey then everything that's been given to us, so that a relationship is known and exercised and lived out together. So that authority that we've been given as the body of Christ might be seen in a puzzle to the world. A clear picture, right? A clear picture of God's saving message of Jesus Christ that we know. And we have that promise. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Until Jesus returns. Until that last piece of the puzzle is put in place. I'm with you always. And all that you're going to encounter, and all those times when you're going to face forks in the road, and your spirit is longing to worship me, but you're dealing with your human being nature of confusion, I'm there with you. And I'll lead you in the path of righteousness. I'll lead you to me, that you might be with me forever. In the presence of our eternal God, the Godhead, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, and by the Holy Spirit who lives within us, I'll let the church say amen. Amen. May the peace of God that passes our understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, in these truths, until life everlasting, until that last piece of the puzzle is put in place. Friends, exercise that which you've been given to the glory of God as his sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, amen.